Right, there we go. Good evening and welcome to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion from Gauteng all the way to the Cape. It's so awesome to be greeting you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is so awesome to give a shout out to the entire world who's tuned, joining us this evening. And I wish it was the entire world. Call those things that be, not just as though they were. Anyway, right now you can go check us out. Well, firstly, if you're listening to us on the airwaves of Radio Pulpit, perhaps on DSTV or on your radio or from Gauteng to the Cape, you can also go to the various platforms, social media platforms of Radio Pulpit. You can go to Facebook, you can go to YouTube, and right now we are streaming live, so you can actually see that we don't only have a beautiful voice for radio, but there's actually a face that goes along with it. And this evening, I am so excited. Can I just, if you tuned into one of our social media pages, you can probably see the smile on my face, because the jet setter that I'm about to welcome onto this platform right now, she's usually somewhere in the world and we've got a pre-record, but this evening we are live. Brought to you by Radio Pulpit live from South Africa, and I can't wait. So just before I open up this fader and put that beautiful face of hers on the screen with me, we just listened to the ad of Godly Revolution, and that was one of the places where myself and Reverend Paul Kupay's daughter, Kalita, connected last year. And now profound, listening to Godly Revolution now and knowing that I met Kalita, well, not met, but we spent some time together, and this evening I've got her mother on the show with me. So go to Facebook right now, go to YouTube, go to our social media pages, go comment, go right there, and when you send us a message, we'll actually acknowledge you. If you've got some questions, do so. We would like to answer them for you. And also go to our WhatsApp channel, 0826572729. I think it's time for me to bring this pretty face into the screen. Let's check it out, let's check it out. Boom, 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 and there she is, Reverend Paul Kupay. Hello, Rev.
Hello, hello, Dwayne, and hello, everybody. Awesome, as you said, to be able to do this live in real time. Yeah, looking forward to that.
It's actually been a while since we've last done this, because usually it's either from a hotel room or somewhere in the world. But it seems like, I know that look in the background, so it seems like you're at home, actually.
I'm at home, that's right. Yep. I'm at home. It's good to always be home, come home, and, you know, just reboot before one leaves. I've been out the past few weeks. Yeah, I was in Israel, then I was in Egypt, and then I just came back from Botswana. So, yeah, it's good to come home and sleep in your bed. Nothing like sleeping in your own bed. I mean, really, yeah.
I was actually wanting to ask you, the other day I spoke to someone that actually, so you know how it works, Nim. People know that we are connected, right. So they want to know, listen, can I please have Reverend Paul's number? I'm like, hold on, I can't just do that. she's a busy lady. And then the lady asked me, but what exactly is Reverend Paul Kupay doing in all of these countries? So for the sake of that listener, can you give us a scoop, please?
Well, I function in the marketplace. So in terms of office, if you are somebody who wants to know the offices, I function apostolically, prophetically in the marketplace. And my focus areas that God has called me into and that I've trained for are legal and justice. So that's why I talk a lot about law and legislation. That's why I talk a lot about government and governance. So I focus on government governance. I focus on leadership issues. So those are the three areas I really focus on. So when I'm traveling in the nations, it's because I'm usually dealing with one of those issues. So there may be some legislation, some laws, you know, that some laws that need to be stopped. And maybe I'm going to talk to parliamentarians or some governmental issues that need to be addressed. And yeah, so that's really what I do in most nations, speaking at conferences as well, still from that perspective of governmental leadership and justice areas. And also economy. I do a lot on the economy and economic stuff. We have a ministry for women that deals with women entrepreneurs. So those are my four basic areas of operation. So whenever you see me going into a country, I'm not usually going on vacation. It's not a vacay. It's not a holiday. Although once every often, I get one day off to put my feet in the sea or something like that. But ordinarily, it's on ministry. It's work related, yeah.
Well, Rev, our paths crossed a couple of years ago. You being on Radio Pulpit's afternoon drive, I don't know if you can remember, with Ayanda and them, which was on the Spectrum show. Yeah. And then myself and you have been going at this for more than 3 years now. Can you believe it? And we do deal with issues, and we like to call this kingdom legislation. And I've learned so much from you regarding what the Bible says about the ecclesia and our input as the church in Parliament. And we've dealt with very controversial topics. We've dealt with from the Bella Bowl to comprehensive sex education to vaccines. And this is what we try and do once a month.
Yeah,
we've done all of those. But I'll be bluntly honest with you. When you gave me the prep for this evening show, I just had to say, Nia. I see the word vaccines. Come on, Rev, what's going on?
Yeah, well, listen, I just think, you know, we spent so much time, Dwayne, on vaccines during the COVID era. I thought it was useful for us to have an update because there's stuff that's going on. And you know, you and I know that we've got called names. I mean, boy, did we get bullets. I did a lot of shows. I did on Carte Blanche. We got called names and all sorts. We got stones thrown at us and all of that. But I thought it was time for us to give an update because some of those stones were really very unfair, very unfair. We were called conspiracy theorists and all of that. But now there are a number of cases that are going on in different nations. And the cases are involving pharmaceuticals, which are being sued for class action. And there's one particular case that is on right now as we speak in the UK that I felt we really needed to talk about because for the first time, a pharmaceutical company, and it's AstraZeneca that I'm talking about, has actually admitted in court, they had to admit that their vaccine actually causes harm, So I thought it was important for us to discuss that. And it's not about necessarily, you know, vindicating us that, oh, no, we were right. It's not about pointing any fingers because this is a tragic story. It's a very tragic story that people have died, that people have been disabled, that people, you know, have suffered all sorts of things. But I do want to hopefully end the story with some positive. And one of the positives I'd like us to talk about is that if you have been vaccinated, there is a way that one can literally try to cleanse yourself of that vaccine. I work with the World Council of Health, and they developed a way in which that spike protein, which is in the vaccine, and that's the spike protein that does the damage, that you can actually rid yourself of that spike protein. So I'm not, like I said, the agenda and the purpose is not to gloat or to mock anybody, to say, well, you see what happened. No, we're actually here to empathize with you and to see, you know, what can you do to try and get the spike protein out of your body. So starting from the beginning, let me start off by saying there's a multi-million pound class action. And the other reason why I'm doing this also, Dwayne, is so that people in South Africa must also consider starting class actions. So let this be like a precedent that can, you know, encourage others who have lost employment. Some people lost their jobs because they refused to get jabbed. Other people who've, you know, been harmed in any way physically, we should start a class action. So a multi-million pound class action, and it started by a number of families, dozens of families in the UK, and whose loved ones were either hurt very badly or killed by the AstraZeneca pharmaceutical vaccine. And currently, there are 51 cases that are lodged in the High Court in the UK. And they're seeking damages, and the damages are said to be up to about £100 million in total, £100 million. And basically, they're suing AstraZeneca under the Consumer Protection Act of 1987. Now, in terms of official data, Dwayne, it shows that 81 British citizens have died from blood clot complications, which are linked to AstraZeneca, the vaccine. That's what the figures, the official statistics, which come from the medicine, the UK Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency. That's what it says. Now, I do want to say this, Dwayne, because there are many people who don't report. They don't report their injuries because they don't even know that they're related to vaccine. So that number of 81 we know is definitely not accurate. Some of the doctors out there, you know, they change the prognosis and all sorts of things. So that 81, I really believe, is very underreported. It's not an accurate. But the fact that at least they know that there's recorded 81 means there is a record that shows that people have died. And the number of people who've been harmed and disabled and suffered vaccine injuries is even much higher. So these are the people who actually died. But like I said, it's probably much higher. And the number of people who suffered injury is even higher than that. So as I said earlier on, AstraZeneca has, for the first time ever, because they were forced to in court, and because their documents, remember in court, you always produce documents which we refer to as lawyers, we refer to them as Exhibit A, Exhibit B, and all of those. So because they were forced to under oath in court, they have were forced to admit in court for the first time ever that it is its COVID jab, its vaccine, can cause a deadly blood clotting side effect. So they've actually said that in court. They've admitted to that. And they said that it can cause, the medical term for it is TTS. TTS, I'm not a medical doctor, but I believe TTS stands for thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome. So that's TTS. It's a medical condition, and AstraZeneca has admitted that you can get TTS through its jab. And that's very different from what they said last year, Dwayne. Last year, the same AstraZeneca said in submissions they made last year, they said, no, TTS cannot be caused by its jab. Now they've made a roundabout turn, and now they've said, yes, it can. So, yeah, and so there are lawyers there that have taken this case to court. And I do also want to say, Dwayne, I don't know if you remember last year as well, another pharmaceutical company, Pfizer CEO, also made some, you know, concerning statements and saying that really they know that their vaccine was not subjected to the proper trials. It was not subjected to the proper trials. So, yeah, there's a whole lot that's coming up. And, you know, we do need to say this because it's being swept under the rug. It's being kept quiet. And people need to know this. They need to know it so that they need to find out, am I suffering any illnesses, sicknesses since till I took the COVID jab? If you are, there are two options that you must seek and pursue. You must pursue your health and pursue, you know, medically. Try and see a medical doctor who is well-versed in this. Like I said, I will share some of the techniques to try and rid your body of the spike protein. But also, you have a right to pursue a legal, you know, remedy, a legal remedy. Because if you were forced to vaccinate, then you can get together. And I would suggest, if you do want to pursue legal remedy, I would suggest a class action. It's much easier to come together as a group of people with your evidence than it is to just go as an individual. I find that big companies find it easy to brush individuals off. And, you know, but it's much harder to do that if you have a class action and you're represented by a very good attorney who can take your action up as a group of people. So that's why we're sharing this information. And yeah, so remember all throughout the COVID time, Dwayne, there was a message that we kept sending out, a clear message. One of the messages we kept telling people is, listen, don't allow yourself to be made a guinea pig out of. These are clinical trials, and the vaccine has not gone through the relevant and the necessary testing process that would ordinarily take 10 years. It just popped out of nowhere. And we know that it was a clinical trial because even the health department, just the department and ministry agreed it was a health, they agreed it was a clinical trial. We know it was a clinical trial because our own president, Cyril Ramaphosa, we saw him in a video thanking the nation of South Africa and its citizens for agreeing to volunteer for the clinical trials. That video is still on the internet. So we know that the president told us that these are clinical trials. So in other words, we you know, those who went for vaccines presented ourselves as guinea pigs. And so now the guinea pig, you know, the evidence of having been guinea pigs is unfortunately coming out in a negative way. So we said it was clinical trials and we warned people and we said, please do not subject your body to the clinical trials. Remember, you had to sign a form. Remember, you had to sign that. And that signing of the form was giving up your right to sue. After you signed that, you know, it was giving up certain rights. So you have to be very careful what you sign. The other thing we said, Duane, remember we kept repeating, was that the vaccine does not work. Did we not say that? We kept saying that. And that was a common sense issue. That was something that we should have known. Why? Why should we have known it? Because if somebody tells you, be vaccinated, you go to vaccinate because you think it's going to work. But if they tell you, go and get vaccinated, but still you've got to wear a mask and you've still got to isolate after. So you must isolate and you must wear a mask. So what are the non-vaccine people doing? What are they doing? They are isolating. They are wearing a mask. So what point? What's the point in my getting vaccinated if I still have to do what the non-vaccinated people have to do? That in itself is telling you the darn thing doesn't work. Vaccine doesn't work. Because if I still have to behave like a non-vaccinated person, what is the purpose in my being vaccinated? So they were literally telling us this vaccine doesn't work. And that's what the Pfizer CEO pretty much said. You know, he cast doubt and aspersions on their own vaccines that it wasn't properly tested. And they knew it didn't work. So the third thing I remember that we always kept saying, Duane, was the issue of vaccine injury. Now, I said number of times, I said, look, the through Minister Nkosazana Zuma Dlamini, they started a compensation fund for vaccine injuries. And this was to compensate people who were hurt, who got harmed, injured, disabled, or even killed through vaccine injury. And I remember I kept saying, the fact that they have started this fund is an admission that they know that people are going to be injured. How would you ever think of starting a fund for fun? No. You already know. And also, Duane, the other thing that should have shown us that there's a problem is that remember that the pharmaceuticals were only giving this product, vaccines, to government on the basis that they signed an indemnity form. In other words, that you could not sue them. So governments were taking these vaccines on the basis of having signed a contract with the pharmaceuticals that they cannot sue them. So now what is happening is that the people in the UK can't sue the pharmaceuticals. They're suing the government. And guess who is paying, going to be paying these big bucks, Duane?
Taxpayers.
Exactly. Is that it's our own money. So literally, we're going to be taxed for now the injuries. Exactly. Not the pharmaceuticals who are guilty, who knew all along that their vaccines don't work. Not the pharmaceuticals who were doing clinical trials. Not the pharmaceuticals who knew that these vaccines can cause such serious adverse effects. They're not being sued. They've made their billions. They've made their billions, Duane. This is, a tragedy. One of the most unethical things that one can ever talk about. They've made their billions. They don't care. They've made sure that they indemnified themselves by saying, you can't sue me. So government now is forced to open up these funds. And the citizens, innocent citizens, have to pay. It's coming out of our taxpayers' money. So that is terrible. And, I mean, when you look at South Africa, they say, because, you know, you can't trust a lot of their statistics. Apparently, under the vaccine, listen to the title, just the very title of our fund. They call it the COVID-19 vaccine injury no fault compensation. No fault compensation scheme. So in other words, they're saying, we'll pay you out, but we're not admitting any fault. It's not our fault. I mean, how stupid is that? No fault? Really? When AstraZeneca has just come out right now and said, yes, we knew it causes blood clots. It causes TTS. How do you call it no fault when they knew all along that this was not tested, that it doesn't work, that it can cause blood clots? Now you want to call it no fault? No. High corner. Mm-mm, no. So they call it the no fault because, again, they're trying to absolve themselves from any responsibility. We'll pay you, but it's not our fault. Who pays anybody for something they haven't done? I mean, really, Duane, who in their right mind would agree to pay you out compensation for something that's not their fault? It is their fault. So it's badly labeled. It is their fault, and they must stop calling it no fault. So here it is. Apparently, according to their statistics, 49 claims have been received, and they've made payouts to the tune of $671,000, according to their information. Now, of those 49 claims, there were 3 deaths, I believe. I believe there were 3 deaths, and for the 3 deaths, 450,000 rand was paid out, Duane, for the 3 deaths. Now, you know, we're not great mathematicians, but that calculates roughly into 150,000 rand per death. Per death. These companies have made billions and billions and billions of dollars, and now people who've lost family members, this is not just an injury of, you know, disability or something. Dead. These people are dead. And they've been paid out 150,000 rand for loss of life. And these companies have enjoyed and made billions and billions, not of rands, billions of US dollars they've made out. And people are being paid through our taxpayers' money. They're being paid 150,000 for loss of life. I think that is just, you know, that is one of the biggest tragedies I can think of. And it's very, very sad. So, yeah, this was the extent, really, of my having wanted to do this because, like I said, there have been some developments, and I think it was our responsibility. Having spoken about the COVID whole thing, I mean, practically the whole 2 years it was enforced, we talked a lot about it, and I felt it was necessary for us to get an update and know that, listen, we were not employing scare tactics. We were not trying to just scare people. This was not about conspiracy theory, but this was real. And you need to check in. If you've had a vaccine, you need to check in on 2 levels. Check in to make sure that you're fine, that you know you're not experiencing any blood clotting or anything like that. So it is, yeah, it is very tragic. It's very sad. And yeah, so that's pretty much what I really wanted to update our people on in South Africa and the nations. I'm just grateful that in Africa we had a lot less vaccinations than the rest of the world. So remember Melinda Gates, the statement that she made at the beginning of COVID? She said she tried to bring in scare tactics, and she said there would be millions of dead bodies lying in the streets of Africa if we didn't vaccinate, basically. So she was employing scare tactics to get us to buy the vaccine. And I remember even seeing the government went and built graves. They literally went and dug graves. Because I remember that I had to go on Facebook and say, we will not occupy those graves. We will not. No, dig them for somebody else, but that we're not going in those graves. And thank God we didn't. We got herd immunity with a low number of vaccinations. Africa was the least vaccinated country, but we had the least number of deaths. The least number of deaths because we had vitamin D sunshine working on our behalf as an antioxidant and an anti-inflammatory, which helped us, the natural vitamin D. We took ivermectin, which Safra, the South African Health Professionals Association tried to stop us from taking ivermectin, and they didn't want people, they wanted people to buy the pharmaceuticals, because some of the people on SAHPRA, the SAHPRA board, health board, are also on the pharmaceuticals board. They're shareholders in the pharmaceuticals. So for them, it was a money-making scheme. And so they wanted people to get the vaccine, because the more people took vaccine, more money in their pocket, regardless of whether they died or not. So right now, we're seeing very powerful doctors, like my good friend, Dr. Susan Forslue, is being harassed because she came out to tell the truth about the COVID vaccine. We're seeing very honorable men like Dr. Shankara Chetty, you know, who stood up and they told the truth about the COVID vaccine, what it can do for your body. They are being, the SAHPRA is trying to discipline them. Why? Just because they told the truth about the COVID vaccine. Now, let me tell you about Dr. Susan Forslue, in case you don't know about her. I am embarrassed on behalf of our nation that somebody would even try to put her in bad disrepute. That we would try to punish somebody who came out to do nothing but tell the truth. Dr. Susan Forslue is one of the best cardiologists in the whole world, Duane. She has given to this nation. She has done operations that were not thought to be possible internationally. If you go up Table Mountain, Duane, if you go up Table Mountain, halfway on Table Mountain, you will see like a memorial plaque. On that memorial plaque, there are two names of two cardiologists. The one name honoring those cardiologists. One of the names is Dr. Christian Bernard. We know Chris Bernard. Chris Bernard, he performed the first heart transplant. The other name is Dr. Susan Forslue, good friend of mine. And SAHPRA has no shame that they're trying to and call her to a disciplinary, which they would want to practicing. That would be a shame. And as South Africans, we must protest that an honorable medical doctor who wanted to save lives told the truth about ivermectin, told the truth about the vaccine. An honorable doctor is being harassed and you know, threatened and intimidated by a medical profession that is supposed to have our best interest at heart. And also Dr. Shankara Chetty, another person also. So please, let us support them. Let us support them. Write letters of support, petition out there. It is unthinkable that a medical board and association that's supposed to protect lives is actually trying to punish people who are trying to do exactly that and protect lives. Yeah.
Rev, just something that that actually blew my mind a while ago. I watched this German documentary. And the German documentary was about a family that took their government to court regarding a measles injection gone wrong in their baby.
Yeah.
Now, what blew my mind was that this family won a court case of millions and millions of dollars and pounds, and because they proved that this measles injection did harm to their baby's life. And and it blew my mind, because we are talking about an injection that's been in clinical trial for 45 years. So we are talking about a measles injection, and the family won a court case against the pharmaceutical company for a 45-year clinical trial, yet the world allowed an injection in the arm after 10 days of clinical trial. I'm struggling to understand how we make the logic in our minds regarding that. I'm just blown away by that.
Yeah. Listen, Duane, I mean, vaccines, we really need to look into this issue of vaccinations. I recently refused for my granddaughter, who was born last year, to be vaccinated. Because when I did a study of vaccinations, I discovered that autism has gone up thousands and thousands of percent. And what has been happening is the MMR, you know, the MMR is, you're talking about measles. So MMR stands for measles, mumps, and rubella. rubella's German measles. And what they've been finding is that the Western world sends often expired vaccinations to developing countries, so-called third world nations. And so autism has escalated at a terrible rate. I was in Botswana over a year ago, and I had to counsel parents who had two sons, and both of them were autistic. And they said, surely there's something wrong. There was a WhatsApp group on autism. So many people whose children were autistic, and yet autism used to be like a one in a million thing. It was very uncommon. But now, you know, and there's been a link. There's been a link to vaccinations. So I refused. I said, no, my granddaughter is not going to be vaccinated. And they tried to, you know, struggle. But I said to them, why would you present me with a consent form? You gave me a consent form to say, can you sign this? And when I refused, you said, no, I must sign it. What's the purpose of having a consent form if I can't decline it? I mean, that's so stupid. If it's compulsory, because they tried to tell me it's compulsory, I said, if it's compulsory, then why present me with a consent form? Because then you're saying I have no obligation. I said, no, I declined because you gave me a consent form. And I said, no. But yeah, it is something that we really, really need to look into and to interrogate. There are a lot of books that have been written on this and the rising number of diseases that are connected to some types of vaccinations and also connected to expired vaccinations as well, because that's what happens with developing countries. Is all the vaccinations that are not wanted by the West, then they send them where? To Africa as a donation, donating expired vaccinations, which are harming our children, harming our people, because Africa is where they've decided they're going to throw all their toxic waste. All the toxic waste. Africa has become that place where let's dig out their wealth, let's take their minerals, let's take their platinum, their gold, their diamonds, and then we send to them toxic waste. Whatever we don't want, whatever we want to rid ourselves of, the yellow pop that we feed our horses, let's send it to Africa. And they're the place we dump our toxic waste, but we take out all their wealth and give them our toxic waste. So we have to wake up. Vuka, Africa, wake up. We just cannot accept this anymore. And the WHO that now wants to impose this dictatorial law around, they can declare an emergency anytime they want to fake it, anytime they want to sell and get money from the pharmaceuticals, because they work hand in hand with pharmaceuticals. So now they want to impose this international rule and law that they can just call a national emergency and everybody has to be locked in their house and forcefully vaccinated. No, WHO, we say no. We say no. And we say no to leaders who are going to ride with WHO. Elections are around the corner. May 29. Yeah, ne?
Sure. Rev, just quickly, you mentioned your grandchild. Can you remember we did a show a couple of years ago? I can't remember what the bill was all about. Maybe you could help me. But we did a show on government pushing for mandatory compulsory vaccinations at schools without the consent of a parent.
Absolutely. We did a show on that. And I remember we were telling parents to brief their children. Do not. So when the government could not get the, remember there was a minimum percentage that they were aiming for? And when they could not get it with the adults, they decided to go and target children, because children, it's easier to vaccinate children when they're outside of the control of their parents. So the minister actually announced that they're going to go to the schools and vaccinate. So we had to brief the parents. Number one, remember what we said? That children don't, they're capacity to get COVID is much lower to begin with. And secondly, even when they get COVID, they don't get it the same way as adults. They recover much quickly. My daughter had COVID like three times, supposedly, because remember also, we showed that a lot of the tests were fake. A lot of the tests showed fake positive results. Because COVID, we discovered later that COVID didn't know how to distinguish between flu ordinary flu and COVID flu, because COVID is a type of flu itself. So a lot of people who were said to have COVID just had ordinary flu. Ordinary flu. My daughter, you know, she had like so-called COVID like three times, and she didn't know because she only found out because she had to travel. And then she took a test and said, "Mom, I had COVID." And she was just lekker monate, just hoying as usual. You know, so children and younger people didn't suffer COVID at the same time. But the government had to go out of its way to target children and try and meet their percentage, which they've promised the pharmaceutical companies that we will get so many percentage. And so when they couldn't get it with the adults, they had to go and resort to bullying and intimidating children at schools when they were outside of the presence of their parents, and they knew that other children would suffer peer pressure and see other children getting vaccinated and just decide to be vaccinated. So, yeah. So we had to brief the parents to say, tell your child they're not allowed to be vaccinated. When they get to school, tell your child. My mother said no, no consent. Yeah.
Rev, just before time runs out with us, because we've got 15 minutes left, any new developments and policies and legislation that you would like to fill us in on?
You know, I mean, we're still fighting the Bella Bill, and, you know, we fought it for a long time ago, and we're still fighting
it. But isn't it implemented? Isn't the Bella Bill a thing of it's implemented?
Well, yeah, it has pretty much been implemented, but when I say fighting, I'm talking about still trying to find avenues to get the government to reconsider. You know, 4SA has been in the front of that, still trying to mobilize to get the government to rethink the implementation process and all of that. And the sad thing is it's going to be implemented from what? From grade R. I mean, you run a school, Dwayne. So how old are the grade R children there?
6 years old.
They're like babies. So that's the level at which it's going to be implemented. CSE and all of those things. 6 year olds are going to be taught, you know, with these lesson plans, going to be taught issues around being transgender, around masturbating, early sexualizing, how to wear a condom. So that's the tragedy. We talked about it. We did our best, Dwayne. But I think two aspects. I don't think that as a church and as citizens, I don't think we came out as strong enough, because, you know, we talk about how we got 120,000 submissions at one point. Mm. But Dwayne, when you look at the percentage, we are what, close to 65 million right now.
Yeah.
And so 10% would be 6.5 million. That's 10%. 1% would be 650,000. That's 1%. So to brag about 120% means we didn't even get 1% response. We got literally a quarter, one-fifth maybe of 1%. We got 0.25%.
But we are a country with more than 80% so-called Christians.
That's what I'm saying. But we got 0.25, and we're bragging about it. Remember how proud we were that, yay, we got 120,000. That was like our largest submissions ever. Ever, 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 because normally there's 10,000 people. So 120,000 was like a record for us.
Yeah, we had a good one there.
And so it boggles the mind that we would rejoice and celebrate over getting 0.25%. of the people to respond. We're still a long, long, long way.
Yeah, and
long
should we perhaps emphasize at this point in time that when we did those things, we did that on behalf of our Christian community. We did that on behalf of the Church of Christ. Yes, yet our biggest attacks and onslaught did not even come from outside of our Christian realms. We were not attacked, myself and you and the stuff that we've been doing. We were not attacked by other religions. We were not attacked by politicians. We were attacked by the church that was supposed to stand with us.
Yeah. Some of them said we were fear-mongering. Now it's too late. I mean, I remember going to Protea Fire and Ice Hotel, you know, 3 years ago when the government came to present there, and it was supposed, because we complained and said we were not consulted as a Christian community. So they said, okay, fine, we'll consult with you. They brought 100 so-called Christian leaders, But of those 100 Christian leaders, about 20% of them were actually from different organizations like the LGBTQ organization there. So it wasn't really strictly for Christian leaders. They included other groups as well there. And then they didn't consult. They just told us what they were going to do. And we took objection, at least I expressed objection, to say this is supposed to be a consultation process, but you're just telling us what you're going to roll out. And I asked them, I said, can't we take our children out if of the schools, if or out of the class, if you're not going to allow them to be exempted? They said, no, if you don't want your children in the class, they said, you just have to remove them from the school and take them to a private school. I mean, what a cavalier answer. What a completely answer that shows that you're oblivious to people's economic standing, that you would just so cavalierly say, take them to a private school. Not everybody can afford a private school. Hello? Hello? You know, maybe you as leaders, and it was the DG of education who said that. Maybe you, DG, acting, or I think it was the deputy DG. Maybe you, deputy DG, can afford private school, but not everybody's earning your deputy DG salary. So let's not be cavalier with people and all that. But what was so frustrating to me and attending that session, Dwayne, is that the majority of the Christian leaders who were there were asked at the end of the session, because the Department of Education lied to them, said that this program was to prevent pregnancies and all of that, and they swallowed that lie, hook, line, and sink, even though we were there as experts in the legal field. Freedom 4SA was there. It was myself, Daniela, and Michael Swain were there. We were there as experts, legal experts and political experts. Errol Naidu was there. We told them the truth. They rather chose to believe the lying department over us, a department that did not tell them the truth, over their own Christian brothers and sisters. They chose to believe those misrepresentations. And now that the whole thing is out, now they're coming back to us and crying and saying, help us, etc. You see, and that's exactly what you're talking about. We got attacked by the Christian community who said we're misrepresenting. Now that the truth is out, you're coming back to us to say, help us. How are we going to help you? You couldn't help yourself. We try to help and educate and mobilize, and you, many rejected it. And the law has been passed now. So, you know, to unpass a law takes years. It takes years because these laws go through committees. They go through drafting. It takes years. And this is what we were trying to express. So it was very frustrating indeed.
Rev, I think one of my biggest concerns, and we've spoken about this previously, so please, once again, give me a box law if you want. But we are using these platforms. Radio Pulpit has opened up an airway opportunity for myself and you once a month to talk freely about controversial stuff. Yet we are facing a generation of people that is oblivious to what is truly the strategy of the enemy. And if I sit here for a second and I think about all the bills and all the Pepura bill, hate speech bill, CSE bill, Bella bill, everything eventually in the end boils down to the exact same thing, and that is our freedom. If you go from comprehensive sex education to the Bella Bill, they want to restrict our freedom, and they want to take us into a place where they have full control over us. We spoke about a pastor that can go to prison just for standing on a pulpit and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ and calling a sin according to the Bible. That is seen as hate speech. But I'm still very much concerned over pastors and church leaders protecting their pulpits with their agendas and with their view. But in the meantime, there's a war happening in the spiritual realm in South Africa, and our churches are not standing together because we are oblivious. How do we get through to these pastors and to these church organizations?
Well, I mean, you know, I think what we're doing is right, Dwayne. You know, we start off on a good foot, and it can be frustrating sometimes, you know, because I think the church is not getting on board as fast as we want them to. Having said that, I do also want to say that I've seen quite a little bit of movement over these years, because I've been doing this for like 20 years now. And initially when I started doing it, everybody called me crazy. They were like, you know, aren't you a minister of the gospel? Aren't you supposed to be preaching on Sundays? Why are you toying? Why are you petitioning? You know, doing petitions. I mean, everybody just thought I belonged in a mental hospital. So at least now, you know, 15, 20 years later, I can see that people are at least aware and there are a lot more people on board. We've seen organizations like 4SA, I think, which came on in the last 10 years, joining, and other organizations also joining to speak out. So there's a lot more awareness than, you know, when I first started 15, 20 years ago. There's a lot more awareness. So we have made some progress, but it's not enough. It's not enough. And then the second thing, Duane, is, I mean, right now, it's one thing to be educated and to know about the thing, but it's another thing to do. So the fact that we still have 0.25% at our best submissions, only 0.25% of a population of 89% Christian, shows us that we're not acting. So we know about the Bella bills. We know now about the hate speech bills, but we're still sitting on our hands and not doing anything. So that still tells us that there's no momentum that's getting there. And I think that it's the responsibility of the pastors. How many times have we said, Duane, we've offered our services to say, look, you can call us to the church. Call us. We'll come and speak. We'll come and address. We'll come and you know, talk about the issues. I was blessed recently to be invited by Pastor John Robert, you know, at the Love Pretoria East, which was a great opportunity because there are hundreds of churches represented there. They have their monthly meeting. And he said, Pearl, come and talk to us about these laws and what is our responsibility as active citizens. So I shared on what active citizenry is about and what is the responsibility of the church. And, you know, they received it very well. But I think there are more forums that we need to do that with so that the pastors themselves can go back and mobilize the churches and go back and you know, if they need to invite us more, we get it to the grassroots level. So that's what we really need to focus on going forward, is really proper mobilization and getting Christians and believers to actually act, not just know about the act, but make submissions that will be meaningful and that will change the narrative and change the trajectory.
Mm. Right, well, Rev, we've got 3 minutes left. Where are you off to next? What's on your agenda?
You know what, Duane? I take one day at a time, because sometimes I feel like if I check my schedule even for 1 month, I may get so scared that I will not get out of bed. So I do day by day, but I just got back from Botswana. I was in Egypt, Israel, Botswana. I think I'll be around for a few weeks and before I travel again. Yeah.
Yay, we can make time for that coffee.
Yes, coffee. Yebo, yes.
We must actually just get to it and get around and actually do it right.
We need to do that, Duane. We need to do that. But yeah, let's, you know, like I said, I'm going to share there's a detox guide. If you have been, because remember I said I wanted to end on a high note.
Please, yeah.
And to say, I don't want people to be depressed out there and feel so bad, you know, and fearful. So that was not the point of this, but just to say, if you have taken the vaccine and you're worried, etc., check yourself out with a medical doctor, a known doctor of repute. But also, we do have a detox guide that was developed by the World Council of Health to remove the spike protein of the COVID vaccine that may still be in your body. So, but on here, let me just say green tea is very good. It's an antioxidant, so if you can, get some green tea. Drink a lot of green tea. It helps to detoxify your body. Activated charcoal as well. You can get it from Dischem. So activated charcoal is another natural product that's very good. It absorbs toxins in your body, so you can take activated charcoal. And the other thing that you can take to detox your body is zeolite. There's a product called zeolite. Z-E, or, okay, in South Africa we say Z, sorry. I grew up in Canada. Z-E-O-L-I-T-E, zeolite. It's also a natural substance that detoxes your body, rids it of toxins and poisons. You can get that from Dischem as well. So activated charcoal, zeolite, and lots of green tea. And then we have a detox guide that can give you more information. But for now, for those who are on board, yeah, drink that daily for some time. And I think you'll see a difference in your body.
Right, as a listener, I tell you what, I'm going to get that detox guide by from RevPol, and then I'll give it through to our client services. If you've got more questions, please phone the client services, and they will share the necessary information with you. Rev, it's time for us to say goodbye. Can you believe it?
Oh, time flies.
When you're having fun, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Rev, blessings to you. We'll make our time the next month or two to get that cup of coffee done. But once again, Thank you for the work you do, and I absolutely love you to bits. You know that wherever you go in the world, my prayers accompany you. And thank you just once again for fighting the battle where we can't do that.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Dwayne. And I want to invite, let me just use this opportunity to invite people. We're hosting a conference this week at Morletta Kerk from May the 2nd to May the 4th. So do check my Facebook page. I want to invite everybody out there. 6 to 9 p.m. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday morning, we're having an apostolic and prophetic leadership summit from 9 to 12 in the morning at Morletta Kerk. So please, you're all invited. And then Saturday night at Morletta Kerk, it's going to be a healing service with one of the most really profound apostles of our time in Africa. So we invite you to come. Let's pray together. Let's worship together. We'll have a time of praying for the elections as well. And the leadership summit is open to everybody. Come one, come all. We invite you. Starting on Thursday, 6 to 9. Friday, 6 to 9. Saturday morning, 9 to 12. And Saturday, 6 to 9.
And then also to give you guys the scoop, there was a lot of requests that came in. I'll talk to Rev off air of perhaps doing a show just guiding the Church of Christ on how to make your cross on the up-and-coming elections in May. So, Rev, I forgot to talk about that off, but we'll discuss it off air. We're going to do a show to circulate amongst the churches on how we should do that. Okay, anyway, on behalf of myself, Reverend Paul Kapai, Radio Pulpit, thank you for tuning in. And we love you to bits, and we're saying goodbye to the Facebook world, and we're saying goodbye to everyone around. So if you are on Facebook, we're saying goodbye to you right now. And if you are on Radio Pulpit, you'll enjoy wonderful music, Wonderwall music, with a song entitled Yearn. Blessings, guys.